Love Triangle. That's what we've got in here at Triple M. That's right. Who have we got? Myself, Tony Martin. Round beautiful. And together we are providing you with the most serious, I think, election coverage as we get closer to the big day. Sure, it hasn't been announced yet, but when it is, we'll be here. The team.
Forget this. It's stupid, it's sluggish, it's completely inconceivable, it's completely unacceptable, it speaks to no one in my view.
Right, okay, so that's a thumbs down from her, but I think at large, the general listening public will be turning to this program for cutting edge information. That's right. I'll be out there first with a snippet. Trimming the hedges until I get answers. Politics, you know, I'm looking through over the weekend. Obviously, there was that business with the union thugs. The union thugs in the pro work choices ad turn out to be actual thugs from real life. I'm thinking they're going to replace them. Captain Dave from the old KFC ad.
Great idea. Well, this is how heavy were the homosexual undertones in the work choices ad?
Not very, I don't think.
Me and Dave.
Going by these gentlemen's resume, not very.
Me and Dave, we can camp heading up.
Sorry, any people new to the time slot would not be aware, perhaps, that Ed was Gus from the Gus and Dave ads on KFC and talked about it a bit much on the show. The ad got pulled.
Got sacked.
Going up in the Nelson territory, I
mean. I didn't get paid for that. Helmet of hair, that's all me. And I'm counting my character based on Christmas. So I don't know if that's too much, but... The Emmys, I got overlooked again.
Well, maybe you could step into the breach there. Then, more slurs, the smear campaign. Turns out that this business claims that a married federal minister, this gay bathhouse, and sexually harasses other men, surfaced in News Limited papers over the weekend. Oreo.
Pictures.
Is claiming that these smears originated from the Liberal Party themselves.
Not bad. Oh, not a bad plan.
So this is a PR move, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We've got to get this guy out to the general public. He's doing some really good work.
I've seen it.
It's called harassment.
You know what's harassment?
It really touches the heartland.
Well, it's not a heartland, he's up. Well, he touches something.
Exactly. All I can think of is the word dirt unit that I'm trying to rearrange it.
See, this is all crap. This is just me reading. I'm just getting this out of the paper. This is the exclusive election coverage we promised at the top of the break.
No.
For that, we turn to Richard Marsden, and you've got us an exclusive interview, haven't you, Richard?
I sure do.
Yep.
I'll bring it down.
Oh, yes, please.
Yes. Because the election is warming up.
Yep.
There's a lot of things to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, at first off, get this.
Really?
That's right.
This is how it takes your time. So,
it's with the audio of your interview taken out of context, if that's okay.
Tony doesn't normally, but he's running late today for a doctor's appointment.
I don't think he has a health problem, frankly. That would be my judgment. I think he has a credibility problem.
But we did get the results of Ed's gastroscopy here. Look at that picture, Mr. Downer. What is that in there? Is that the soundtrack to High School Musical 2?
The great record.
How hard as that is to swallow. Just to cut you off there, are you a fan of Tony's interviews?
Look, I mean, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I suspect... if I may offer a little professional advice, never underestimate the intelligence of the Australian public.
Oh, thanks. And then thank you also for giving me a hand with this.
Congrats of yours to you here, but also what we had to throw out. They won't find out for what they said.
Also, what Tony likes to do is use selected sound bites from politicians to finish his sentences.
Yeah, I just say it sounds good coming out of the speaker.
Very good. That's exactly it. I think I'm getting the hang of this. As long as they don't do something foolish, like play the wrong interview grab at the wrong time.
I'm fully expecting it. They'll find someone silly enough to run it somewhere.
Sorry, what happened there?
It doesn't matter.
But that was Jimmy Gillard just there.
I'm not going into that.
Well,
I see that in politics from time to time.
Okay. It won't happen again then. Let's move on.
Thanks, Tony.
Richard, well, this really isn't working.
Well, I wouldn't put it that way. No, I think what...
don't tell anyone about that slip-up.
There's no need to be babies about this.
Cheers. So now on to hard news. There's been lots of talk about dirt units. And the idea that upcoming electioneering is going to be one big smear campaign.
Let me say this about public life. I think cabinet ministers should be subject to... ..public
So I could say that,
with his fierce performance at the MTV BMW Sport.
It's certainly not well there.
So say that you're responsible
for kicking off April again next month.
In November, you could be sure of that. It's conceivable it could come back in October.
I could say that you're fond of breaking into your Julia Gillard impression.
Well, we wish we knew.
Mr. Downer, it's a bit of us with just one positive thing to take us into this election campaign.
Which I don't think I shall ever become Prime Minister.
Well done. Alexander Downer, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Tony.
That was something he really said.
That's actually something he said. Whatever it said, fine, well, has to be corrected later on. But scrutiny is important.
Yeah. I love how he kept calling you Tony, though.
Yeah.
Maybe you've got to announce yourself at the beginning of your interviews. How does that sound again?
I'm Vicky.
Maybe you said, I want to know. At the beginning of the interview, not so much confusion. Here again.
Around the nation, and I think we've established our political credentials in break one.
Yeah, absolutely right, Rich. Nice work, Rich.
Great job, brother. But it's certainly hotting up in the papers, so I've noticed the Murdoch press are really starting to go hard in on the lady.
Who are they up for this time around?
Well, they're just
Bob Brown.
They love Bob Brown.
Bob Brown.
Can I just say, Bob Brown is the only member of the Greens I want to see without a beard. I think if you...
That's true.
Just
and a Hessian sack of shoes.
You're in the green, beard up, all right?
Yeah, and get some tracksuit pants, wear sandals, and pull your socks up over the tracky so they don't get caught in the wheel of your bike.
I understand Bob Brown needs to go to a lot of official meetings, so he's allowed to wear a suit and tie and not have a beard.
Yeah, everyone else, beard up, but we're not going to take you seriously.
And if I see one more Greens candidate without some fauna, just on the shoulder, you know, like a possum, gently nuzzling, you know,
not really on the teeth.
Absolutely. Well, no, the Murdoch breeds, which in at least two cities where this show is heard, is the only breed.
Yep.
Very so, John Howard, surprisingly. And they're really busting stuff out now. The Australian newspaper, which is, well, they love a bit of Howard work, and they have a section called Cut and Paste, which is just a random selection of articles from around the world. It's amazing how many seem to be from other Murdoch newspapers and seem to be John Howard. It's a remarkable coincidence. They've just printed an incoherent transcript of an appearance by Andrew Bolt on a Brisbane radio station today. That's made the front of Cut and Paste.
Around the world.
Try and follow that.
As far as Brisbane.
Then, of course, you had the Courier Mail on Friday running a story in the perspective section, which contained this quote. He'd never be the one to shout the front bar. Is one line being used to try and undermine Kevin Rudd's guilt for the country's top job. Never attributed to anyone, that quote.
Oh, it just happened.
Ooh, fell out of the sky.
You hear it everywhere you go.
Pouted inside as it struck.
Does John Howard seem like the kind of guy that's going to wander into the front bar and shout a forward scooter? I mean, really?
Then in Sydney, the Daily Telegraph were running with ridiculous Friday's paper. And down in Melbourne, the desperation is so severe, I don't want to suggest they're making up letters for the 50-50 column in the Herald Sun.
TV Week Star.
Listen to this in today's Herald Sun. I swear to you, I have not made these up.
Come on, fellow Australians. Let's get behind our fantastic Prime Minister and fabulous Treasurer.
That's from Helen Hack of Meat Tone.
Meat Tone?
The children didn't even change their name.
Helen Hack. And then underneath that, listen to this from the fabulous Peter Costello.
Is he going to come out to a track five?
This is Malcolm Bingham from Frankston, apparently, word for word.
What an inspiration John Howard has been to Australia. He surely deserves a knighthood from the Queen.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Wow, no less.
I've got knighthood.
I better have all the
Queen.
Out of the way, man.
And so, you know what I mean?
So, that's a ridiculous headline. When I saw that on the weekend, I thought maybe some people have gone onto the MySpace. You know, it's cavalicious.
Absolutely right.
Marvelicious. I thought it was malicious when I first saw it. Because it looks like the same word.
That's right. People have set up MySpace pages for all of us. It's cavalicious.
Yeah.
It's been Marvel and Delicious for some time.
Yeah.
And now Martin Delicious is up there.
Oh, is that you for you, Tony?
Yeah.
Is yours full of bad things like mine?
It's got pictures of Frank Butcher from EastEnders.
You bar the old horse!
Fantastic. Very baffling to anyone who has heard this show.
But well done to him to set that up. Beautiful, mate.
Have you had enough politics, son?
I think
have you had enough of having a crack at the fabulous treasurer and his dancers, his dance troupe?
The lovely show where the smog is for.
All right, you want to talk sport?
Can we do that? You're not going to involve me, are you?
It's time to go around the grounds with Tony Martin. That'll be next.
I'll get this. Get this on Triple M,
Cold Chisel, and what are we doing now?
Hey, it's time to talk sport on Get This as we go around the ground with Tony Martin.
What a disaster last night.
No, this is a good segment.
What this is I've got the sporting headlines from today's papers to share. I presume you haven't seen anything of them.
Nothing.
And you have to tell us what you think.
Oh, I know that football final's coming up soon.
Okay, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But first things first, Stoner is world champion again, Tone. Your thoughts?
Oh, fair enough.
What do you mean? You talk about Mrs. Stoner, bus driver from Adelaide.
Richard Martin.
No, she hasn't stopped me.
I know Linda Stoner. Is she making a run?
Yeah, there's a lot of Linda Stoner.
She used to be in number 96, I think. Wasn't she
in Turkey Shoot?
I'm not sure.
Possibly.
No, no one from Turkey Shoot has currently won the most rugby world championship.
Tony, would you believe?
Look, Adebayor scored a hat trick.
Tone?
Was that word?
What are you talking about?
Adebayor. Emmanuel Adebayor scored a hat-trick for Arsenal, don't
you? Hang on, now, this millinery?
I didn't understand anything.
Adebayor.
Let's move on. Cats play Port in the grand final this Saturday, don't
you? I've seen that clip on YouTube.
No.
Cats playing Port.
No, Geelong Cats are playing Port Adelaide in the AFL grand final this Saturday, don't. What do you think is going to happen?
One of them will win.
Yeah, absolutely right. And finally, Tone, the Storm have made it into their second grand final.
This weather now?
The Melbourne Storm.
Yeah. I've seen them running for a big paper sign of themselves. Yeah. I like that. That's interesting.
Okay.
More of that, less of that football game, I would have thought.
We've gone around the ground with Tony Martin.
It is the Achilles heel of the program, new listeners and the new time slot. We've got to do something about this.
Jim Rogers is coming in. He knows about footing.
I saw him kicking a few goals in the community AFL match one day.
There you go. He'll sports with Tim Rogers coming up later. Then science with Nick Kershaw. We've got everything covered.
Okay, this is that Brownlow Medal business, though, isn't it?
That happens tonight.
Oh, yes, that's nice.
It's a culmination of a year's hard work from the girlfriend turning a blind eye.
Remember those ones with you?
The girlfriend, and occasionally there'll be one that isn't blonde.
Remember there was all that talk about the players boycotting the Brownlow?
Why?
Because of that conflict with Channel 7.
Oh, really?
And everyone just thought, well, who cares? Let's get the Wallace to come.
It's a television show.
It's right there. It is the best show on television for those who love to watch people eating dinner.
It is, mate.
It is just incredible.
Will it be music, entertainment?
Weren't they going to have Todd and Brandt and their band, you know?
Oh, really?
The Mind Disaster, where they going to be before?
Because it's a great story in the paper. I think I got this one courtesy of our friends,
Curry Marlon Brisbane,
yeah.
The wife of Beaconsfield mine survivor Brandt Webb. Never bothered to explain why his name's Brandt. Hours and hours of testimony and investigation, no one ever just said, what with Brandt?
Take a seat, Mr. Martin.
Can I just combine Grant and Brent and say that's a name?
Better than that girlfriend I only bring up.
Pray yes.
I'll ask my friend Rodney.
What do you reckon, Brillip?
Okay, anyway.
Okay, sorry. The wife of Brent has thanked the Foo Fighters for coming good on a promise to compose a song about their underground ordeal.
Remember they promised to
do a new album coming out?
Listen to Dave Grohl. What a crafty bastard.
Frontman Dave Grohl has confirmed that an instrumental inspired by the rock fall and subsequent tale of survival will feature on the band's new album.
An instrumental?
Yeah.
It could be anything.
You can just go, oh, yeah, this is about their mind and heart.
There's Crocky getting into the ambulance.
Oh, what's going on there?
see the album's been finished and someone's gone, "Hey, did you remember that song about the mind?"
Drum, I'll pretend I'm playing guitar.
Let's take the instrumentals about it.
Good work.
How will they prove it isn't? That's what it sounded like down there.
Exactly right.
Alright, I think we're running over in this break, so let's go straight to music. Here's the newie from the Foo Fighters. Tonight here at Get This on Triple M, Ed Turbulik here, Richard Marthay, I'd be Tony Martin, and we're brought to you by the Listen Navara 4x4 magazine. Of the year.
You love me.
Wings as well.
Now,
Wings medley. I'm hoping that Tim Rogers isn't listening on the way in. Look, it's the year to the year. That's 4x4's call, obviously. And they've laid their reputation on the line here.
Yeah.
They've awarded the Navara 104 points out of a possible 120, convincingly defeating its nearest rival on just 92.
Sorry, boy.
Bad luck. 104, it would have got the 120. But I think 4x4 felt that four beverage holders was a bad excessive. That's really the floor. Mm-hmm. You know, every masterpiece has to have a floor.
Is that the way? Yeah.
And the China Hutch, I think. But yeah, felt it going overboard. Hey, that's our sponsor, the Nissan Navara. Now, had a message from Gary, one of our listeners. He wants to know how Shane Warne missed out on a mention in Tony's Around the Ground.
Gary Warne is a segment unto himself.
Yeah, that's right. His weekend antics, which are exclusively covered by the new idea, world exclusive. I'm assuming people have heard about it by now. Another stray text has got Warne into trouble. Simone has told new idea. She caught the shameless Shane red-handed. He sent her a text message clearly intended for someone else.
Is this a friendly text?
I can't work out the geography of this. I think he's in England, is it?
Well, yeah, he's in England. I don't even know.
I haven't been keeping up with a new idea. You got them all in binders on your desk. What are you talking about? You never read them?
You only look at the pictures, don't you, Richard?
I thought they were just getting together maybe once he's married again, Lara Bingle might start calling him. That's what I heard. So is this true? They're back together?
They're back together because he missed Simone. He missed having someone to cheat on.
Mm. So the text messages are printed here.
Oh, yeah, when he goes to
He's in England. Yeah. He sent a message to someone. It's coming out of Simone's phone. It says, "Hey, beautiful, I'm just talking to my kids. The back door's open." And that's funny because obviously she'd been there before. She knew where the back door was. I'm surprised he didn't try and pass it off as just a bit of, farting on tour work.
Yeah, the back door's open. The door's open.
You know me.
I'm for business.
And then Simone replied, "You loser, you sent the message to the wrong person." Now they're not together anymore. Do you think Warnie's worried about this latest development?
Are you worried about hell or Warnie, but this is serious.
One more chance.
I tell you what,
just one more.
Yeah, the boy, the ladies, or what? Hey, beautiful. Talking to my kids, the back door's open. And what if I do?
What about the big news, though? Marcel Marceau passed away at the age of something really old.
A million years.
At the age of a million. 84 he was. I'm sure there's a lot of obvious jokes that we could.
Yeah.
Get out of our system. You want to kick things off, Mr. Marshall?
Well, would there be a few moments of silence or just a few moments of insane noises?
I see here, Marceau visited Australia several times and was well remembered by pop guru Molly Meldrum. If you remember anything, it's well remembered, really. That wasn't the joke. Oh. But you might remember Marceau. He was one of the maniacs who opted for mime on couch.
Okay, I went to see Mark Delmo last time he was here.
Yeah.
And I was sitting in front of some very old ladies, some very naughty old ladies. They brought lollies in and they were unwrapping them. They were having a wonderful time. And Mark Delmo was doing a sad clown act where it was a series of Bib, a really unfortunate event that would happen to Bib. He lost his job. He lost his girlfriend. And I think he fell down a well. And then finally he puts up a sign that says, Bib ends it all. And really loudly, the old woman in front of me yelled,
that should cheer him up.
Really loudly, too, that would have rubbed it in.
Beautiful.
Didn't have a sign ready for a response. Very tricky dealing with heckless.
Kind of felt bad, so.
When's the funeral, son?
Later in the week, I think, Rich.
So he'll be trapped in a box forever.
What is his joke face on?
The joke face is when he's looking at someone else,
yeah,
when he pushes the button.
No, he gives it, like, he looks you right in the eye for the gag. His joke's boring to my soul.
Does it say what he died of?
I walked through an imaginary playground window.
Stop.
I'm having an imaginary shower from all these
jokes. Wash away the dirt.
Listen, they'll get us out of trouble. Let's meet them next on Talkback Mountain. Here again, this on Triple M. I think you'll find.
Got him.
That's the Foo Fighters with additions from Richard Martland here at Get This Around the Nation, The Pretender. Same album with the instrumental solution. Not a brain. Nicely done. Okay, let's keep it heavy, shall we, as we climb Talkback Mountain. Very nice, Metallica. Thank you. We're up here. Let's just mention what happened over the weekend briefly. Did I see you in the social pages?
Oh, yeah. Now,
is a very good question indeed.
Yeah, that made me look a bit dodgy because was at the premiere of Superbad, which I went to with my flatmate Vera. He's not a photogenic man. So when I wandered past, I was trying to get a pass. I was talking to Ryan Skelton. He's big these days.
Sure.
And they grabbed me and they said, Ed, can you have a photo? I said, sure. And then they brought over like a model in a police outfit.
Oh, is that how it happened?
Oh, right. Yes, yeah, this is the reaction I was waiting for. And then I wandered off. But in the paper, it looks like everyone brought a friend.
Sure does.
Ed brought a stripper in a college outfit.
Well, the concern is a stripper, you're not noticing that.
That was the implication of me grinning like a Cheshire cat, as usual.
Well, that's what I inferred from it, and that's what everyone on the internet, MySpace and Facebook seems to infer from it.
Very, very nice. I like how you two don't think it's believable that a woman that attractive might just be hanging out with me.
No, I just thought, good night. Wow. Excellent. Things are going well.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone suggested that at all.
Yeah, right.
Hey, let's get straight to the real over the weekend. What did you see at a takeaway shop?
Oh, right, here we go. We're
hey,
thanks, Dan. Great link. What we're doing is we're playing parental threats.
Mm-hmm.
What did you used to get threatened with when you were a kid? What threats did your parents make to try and get you to behave? We'll bleed that into bizarre punishments that you used to get dished out to your
child.
Anyway, because I was in a chicken shop over the weekend, and there was a kid who was mucking around and being loud and throwing crayons.
Right.
And his mum said, right, you're going to have to go to bed early. He couldn't care less.
That wasn't
not going to happen. He kept going. I'll take your bike away.
Couldn't care less.
Kept going. It got worse. You're not allowed to watch television.
Well, laughable.
He kept going, and she went, right, that's it. No coleslaw.
The kid
stops dead in his tracks and goes, "Hey, this, Mum." And she wanders over to like the display and looks at the coleslaw, and while looking at him, he's like, "Ooh, it looks like there's lots of cabbage in it today as well. Have you put extra carrot in this?" Trying to get the person to point along. "Ooh, the mayonnaise looks so tangy. And you're not going to get me. What a shame." And he stopped dead.
Are you sure this isn't a story from your life?
No. When I was a kid, it was always, you'll have to go outside. I'm like, no, Mum, it's sunny out there.
You're saying the kids don't care about the bikes, the deli, and the crystal meth. It's the coleslaw.
Wins them over every time.
So you were just sitting outside.
Yeah, I was always outside. But Mum, it's sunny out there.
See, my mum, any excuse to just leave and move to a new family. That was
my threat.
Constantly. And that could happen at any time of the day or night.
Really?
Because it's double right, put everything in the car, we're leaving. And we just start driving to presumably a new town and a new family.
You are a little of Tobo.
And then if people who, possibly, there must be one person listening who knows Tim from New Zealand,
just on the outskirts, there's a place called the Rendezvous Motel.
Nelly.
And I knew Mum was serious if we got past the Rendezvous Motel. And then my stepfather would want to know what had happened.
Yeah.
And see, I was under the impression, being a kid, that it was pronounced Rendezvous Motel. The thing is, so was my stepdad. So we have these great conversations where it'd be staged. You get past the Rendezvous Motel.
You might have just been playing along with me.
I think you were. But I said Rendezvous something for only about 2 years ago.
You were so humorous, huh?
Okay, that was severe. But a more simple one would just be, oh, you know when she knew that she had you? Something Rob Sitch was talking about. When she knew you'd seen part one of a Batman. And so she could threaten you with not seeing part two.
Oh,
you never know how it gets off that conveyor belt that doesn't move very quickly.
How's it going to do that?
So that was the ultimate
horrible thing.
Which part two of Batman? Richard, what did you have hanging over your head as a youngster?
Well, I've talked before about how we had a VCR with a remote control with a quarterback.
Yeah.
The reason we had one of those is that because my father thought that the rays coming out of remote controls were carcinogenic.
Yeah, sure.
And if you got in between the remote control and the television, you get stricken down the signal.
How's your bomb shelter going, Rich?
It was beautiful when we got a microwave. I'm telling you. The bomb shelter's fine. The classic, though, was, of course, you can't eat any seeds, you know.
Yeah.
Don't eat the seeds, because then, at some stage, presumably, you'd have a butternut growing in your lower intestine.
Okay, so these are punishments. Don't stand between the remote and the deli.
Yeah, eat this bag of seeds.
Yeah. And they'll fry you up.
So what did they threaten you with? Well, I mean, all kinds of things. Dropping you off in the country. What's the way? In the car, we're going to the country. Almost on the same time that their dog went to at one stage. And, like, we would go for a drive until you'd apologise. You know, we'd be up miles and miles away on the hills until, you know, it would make you apologise, though, eventually.
Right, well, Nicky Hamilton, our producer, is here, and this all came about because we were talking on our way to the shop this morning. Nicky, what punishment have you seen or heard of being dished out?
My friend, if he was playing up in the car, he was threatened to, like, get out and, like, run behind the car on the road. I actually followed through on, and the reason I know this is because his father told the story on his 23rd.
That's the ultimate proof that it happened. When it gets tabled at the
21st. So it makes your dad look like a president that has a really pathetic job.
So it's a 3.8-year-old to protect him.
He's talking into his sleeve.
All right, listeners, how do you as a youngster, or possibly still do to this day, we do have a prize. The prize king is back!
No, it wasn't like that, but she also used to do it to our friends.
Oh, really? That's just sport. After a while, she's just doing it for fun.
I was very embarrassing at school.
And did Dad queue up for one of those as well?
No.
Nathan, for those guys, you may have either Prisoner, Grey's Anatomy, or a top TV song.
It has to be top TV song.
You're a winner.
Oh, wow.
You are a winner. Sounded almost happy.
Never happened before. Who's going next?
Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, thanks, bro. What happened?
My auntie and uncle lived across the road from us when we were kids, and that was my mum's sister, and if we didn't eat all our dinner, Mum used to threaten that tomorrow night we'd have to go over and eat at Auntie Dawn's place. She's such a bad cook.
Is it going to be slop again, Dawn?
Yes, I'll send them over to slop.
Which one goes to slop? Mark, what would you like? Top TV songs, Grey's Anatomy or Prisoner?
I'm Grey's Anatomy, thanks,
sir. Oh!
Thank you, sir. It's my customer.
You are a winner.
Thanks, Tim. I hear the sort of enthusiasm since the last time we faked up a call.
Oh, we don't do that.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
How you doing?
Excellent. What used to happen?
We used to get to Stanley. You always get scared to wait till your father gets home.
Yeah.
We have darker skin than our usual, the Caucasian males. So my brother used to threaten to beat me white.
Yeah. Yes.
But the worst one was with my brother and my sister and I had been fighting. My mother would bring out whatever she was cooking or getting ready for dinner and putting it at the dining table. And then she'd line up three chairs into a triangle. And then we just have to sit there and look at each other and not do a thing. It was probably only 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
3 or 4 minutes where we've just been fighting like cat and dog.
Yeah.
Seems like a lifetime. And you were just thinking to yourself, my God, could this be any worse? And then she would have, then she would make you kiss and say sorry. Considering that you're going hammer and tong,
yeah. That
just puts the icing on a very bad taste.
Absolutely. Well, here's something for the AFL footballers to keep in mind.
Thank you, sir. Prisoner or top TV song, Simon?
What was that?
Prisoner DVD or top TV song, CD?
I'd go for a top TV song CD.
Brilliant. I think it's a track listing, so I heard a slight note of enthusiasm there. This is very out of character for you, Ed Cavill. We've got time for one more.
Hi, Leah.
Hi, Ed. Hi, Tony.
Hello. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hello, Richard. Sorry.
We don't want him up on the roof of the rifle.
Don't worry about it. What used to happen, Leah?
Well, my mum used to ride horses when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And when my brother and I would get very, very naughty, she would send us to our room, and she'd stand in the doorway of the room with her big, long horse whip, threatening to whip us with it. She whipped the bed, and it squeaked off and whacked me on the leg.
Oh.
And it really, really hurt. So I had this huge welt across my leg, and she never saw it.
It's the time to work. I asked again, how did your dad react to all this?
Well, Dad was usually working, so
no. He
was a shearer, so he wasn't into the horse whip, so no, he was
out the shears instead. Is the whipping better than popping a shearing from Dad? Okay, who is going to get that? I think it's all Leah.
You are lucky to get Princess. Still
walking
out.
Fantastic one.
Well,
you've never had this sort of reaction before.
Okay.
I can't believe it. Well done, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
And in the next hour of the show, and by the way, we've got so many calls that we're going to have to do that again in the next hour. It's time once again for, well, great moments in rock. No one has a lower standard for that than us. But the man to help us out is here, Tim Rogers.
Complete with a pair of black beauty heels.
Do what I want because I can, because I wanna. Me and all my friends and the ones that I'm gonna.
I think it's
What happened when we asked if we could. season around the nation where Tim Rogers is sitting in. He has a fine new album called The Luxury of Hysteria. Just tell us quickly, what was the thinking behind Dippin, Tim?
Dippin?
What were you up to here? Because you've gone quite ambitious with a lot of instrumentation.
Yeah, I want to continue trying to actually do better than I was last year. And not only to make it look better as I'm doing the decline in a lot of respects, I actually want to challenge myself and make something that I can just go, gosh, I'm great, I'm getting better. Well, that was the thinking of it. I didn't want one pre-code lyric, I didn't want one pre-code chord change, I wanted it all to be wonderful. So none of your songs start with three hands in the air and wave them like just don't care. You see, that's an interview.
Okay.
Yeah, well, if I did, I mean, you know, I think we've talked once about the songline advice I've got over the years against him labels and then drop from.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's up around now, because as a result, I'm actually going to drop myself last the initial rush of the release has come through, and all that. When it's first bad, you'll just drop myself. But yeah, it's good to get some folks about someone.
We need, because Ed's going to write a song for this show, Power Ballad. So we need songwriting advice. We'll write this down. What kind of stuff did I come up with?
My favourite bit of advice is, Tim, maybe a good idea would be to take every second word out.
Okay, yeah.
That's too wordy.
That's the old, how many notes Mr. Mozart there?
Yeah, at least. But that's my favourite.
Okay, yeah, that's
yeah. Anything involving a waffle or...
Yeah,
is good or bad?
Oh, well, that's good.
Obviously,
we're going to have a nice example of the idea of what was and do a bit of call and response.
Call and response.
CNR. What about, I mean, obviously, our look is going to be all freezing and
a bit of emo. Well, someone forgot to tell me that waistcoats were in last year, you know, and I found myself incredibly incompetent with a bunch of guys with skinny jeans and waistcoat.
It's revealing your look. You've been watching that waistcoat look
I know. Yeah.
So fringes.
Okay.
Yep. We're going fringes, wahos, every second word's gone.
Bit of hair colour.
A hair colour.
And just
most importantly, some high quality style in the video clip.
Of course.
Right. There's that song Umbrella Ella Ella.
Mm-hmm.
The worst song I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you watch the video and you go,
I'm really into it.
I guess what happened when I asked the music department, could we play a track off the new Tim Rogers album? I got this email back. We'd rather not play a full song. How about playing a 10 to 15 second hook of one or two of his songs across the hour?
I think there's three glaring problems here. One, I don't have hooks. And I'm alright. After my finance, so they've got to put me in the future.
Oh, I would dispute that, but okay.
Some of the things looking, well, the problem is that I put too many words in songs, then you've got to put in novel, and
right. It's the names of the songs, a most ordinary set of events. This gets me in. I want to hear what the most ordinary set of events is.
Mm-hmm. Umbrella, Ella, Ella. Well, it was originally called a most extraordinary set of events. Well, as I was sitting in the...
You said, I'm the record company president.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, nothing extraordinary. I said, keep it ordinary, all right?
So anyway, I guess you can imagine what this fine album does like. That's a dangling carrot. All right, what we do have for you is a bit of Fallout Boy here again. It's on Triple M.
Want to be at the Opera House on the 3rd and 4th of October, Melbourne, the National Theatre, St Kilda on Friday the 5th of October, Brisbane at the Powerhouse on the 8th of October. Don't forget the new album. But just telling us, massive fan of Arrested Development, is that right?
Yeah, because absolutely. The band, yeah.
The, well, not the band, the TV show.
Mm.
It was Arrested. There was a band called Arrested.
Yeah,
they did that song, Mr. Wendell. They met the real Mr. Wendell in New York. He's a real guy.
But we were, our idea this year was to have everyone from the show Arrested Development co-host.
Mm.
We had Will Arnett, mm-hmm. who played Job, and he's just worked with the Majors, the $6 million man.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did he say? He used to refer to $6 million man as 6 mil.
Yeah, 6 mil.
Remember, we were doing 6 mil. And then Michael Cera from Superbad,
yep.
George Michael, that fell through due to the time slot change.
Yeah.
But you ran into someone. Who did you meet?
He just kept coming to the band quite a bit.
Really? So you and I think?
Looking for Jimmy Garoppolo that whispered to hear that they were at Stowe Theatre.
Wow.
Yeah, and so we're in the dressing room, New York, at the door, and after we left, and he said, look, that's all I want to see, and I was already off the road. And
from Arrested Development.
And what about the world's finest in Albert?
And what did you talk to him about?
It's like a love fest, absolutely. Oh, I love you.
Yeah, I really like you too. And have you seen Mr. Show, his sketch program?
Yeah.
Made for about 25 cents. The first series was shot just in the corner of a theatre restaurant.
In a restaurant. Yeah. No, it's wonderful. That was a big one.
Well, do you think that qualifies? It certainly does on this show. It's a great moment in rock. Thank you, Richard Barton. That's what we're looking for today. Great moments in rock. Tim Rogers meets David Cross.
Not bad.
See, the bar is pretty low on this show.
Oh, very low.
That's pretty as good as, you know, we've had.
We were talking before about a different support band, and be good but not too good. When we play with the Who and we're sitting in the dressing room and you just come in the car and someone's in, sounds like Roger Daltrey, and Roger just sort of walked into our dressing room, and he sat a little baby down, the world's biggest Who fan, and said, look, mate, it's a really tough job going on before the Who.
Hang on, I'm still coping with it. Are you saying you did actually support the Who?
Yeah.
Where did that happen?
In Melbourne, Sydney, about 3 years ago. Pete's opening line for me, I think anyone knows anything about your line. I've said a couple of things. Pete's opening line, he says, hey, are you that your line there? He says, my son really stepping up your band. I can go to the grave now.
Thanks very much. That's fantastic. That's great. I don't want to give it to you. What do you think?
Suck your son.
Great moments in rock.
It's a great moment in rock.
Very nice. Have you got one for us?
Sure. I was the first one ever to play the Taxi Ride single Creeping Up Slowly on the radio. I like the story about how their friends who had a taxi. They're really nice guys, right?
Yeah.
And the friend of theirs who had a taxi said, you might like to hear this, and put on, and it was Taxi Ride song.
Oh, there we are.
Are we in that flipping cat?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's been great. You've made it on the radio. In Kimberley, what can you contribute?
I've started watching Countdown on Foxtel.
For how many years, Tony and Kim, was it that people used to just rock out, they'd show up in some sort of spandex thing, paint their face a little bit purple around the eyes, stand near a synthesizer and sing about absolutely nothing in particular while a man pretended to hit hexagonal drums? How long was that music?
No, it's one of those times coming back.
Well, it's about 14 months. Lucky's there. 14 months on the way back.
Heavily documented as well.
Okay, I've got one years ago. About during that era, I was working at a radio station in New Zealand, and in the course of a month and a half, we had three different bands come into the station to record air, claiming that they were the original Platters. Three variants. And you know they got 4 million people in the country. There's three different versions of the Platters, sir, each with one original member. Imagine if you got to like the situation where Davey had UMI, and there was Rusty's UMI, and then there was your UMI, all touring.
We toured with a band in 95, or 96, called Man or Astro Man, the wonderful, wonderful American instrumental band, and they used to dress as robots. But they franchised themselves. So during the States, at any one time, there could be 20 Man or Astro Men. And they just used to conduct the business of it from Georgia,
mate. I mean, now that you've got your own label, I mean, that is a possibility.
And quite frankly, I do look best. There's at least 60 guys in this town that look exactly like him. Just with their things and everything.
Well, corral them up and get them out there working out of tunes. Great moments in rock, that's what we're looking for. And it can be anything. You can have seen something, you can have been there, you can have bumped into someone in the street.
You can have slept with
somewhere.
That's right.
You know,
good idea. That'll get you one of these. Cool, now with your great moment of rock, and we may even have a prize one for all 353.
So, well, we chicken, also a dead guy.
Information on Triple M. Tim Rogers is here. He's on tour. He's got a new album now, but he's seeking to be impressed by great moments in rock. With this style, who's got one?
G'day, Michael. How are you?
G'day, Tim. How are everyone?
Good. So much, Tim Rogers.
G'day, Tim. I actually saw you play at Newcastle Uni a long time ago, and the people I'm about to talk to were your support.
What was I wearing?
Oh, I can't remember. I was very drunk.
Something alluring, though?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, something was showing, yeah.
All right. So what's the talk has been a great moment in rock apart from that, Michael?
I used to coach basketball back in Newcastle, and I now coach in Sydney.
Yep.
But one of the guys I used to coach was Chris Joenia, the bass player from Silverchair.
That's what happened the other day.
And Gillies played as well, but I can't remember him. I remember Chris and his twin sister and coaching some of them along the way.
Good on you, man. You know,
yeah, it was awesome.
What sort of skills did he have?
Not me. He was pretty shit.
Okay.
Good kid.
Since we mentioned Will Arnett there within here, I can tell you like that. You can't stop saying Michael.
Absolutely right. Thank you very much.
Do you know what we're talking about, Michael?
Thanks, guys.
We'll send you something. Thank you very much.
G'day, Nick. How are you?
I get the prize today.
G'day. How are you going?
Excellent. Your great moment in rock.
Oh, we were backstage at Countdown Spectacular 2. Up here in Sydney, we were hoping to see Samantha Fox and get an autograph.
And?
And she was coming down the corridor towards us, and one of the minders got to a door, and it was locked, and she's going, "What's going on? I'm locked out of my effing door."
Yes,
yeah,
that's
a great
moment. You mean there's more?
Oh, I wish. We were so hoping to get an autograph, but we missed out.
Oh, yeah, that's Samantha Fox.
Of course.
This is someone who, there is no connection with you and my Samantha Fox, I'm guessing. No degree could get us there.
No.
Ooh,
been disgusted by his behaviour.
There we go.
That'll do nicely.
Right, for Nick, who's next?
G'day, Pete. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. Your great moment in rock?
At a signing once, the singer from System of a Down tried to crack onto my girlfriend at the time.
The Asian Armenian, isn't he? They're part of the Armenian community.
He is Armenian,
and was he pretty hot, your girlfriend? Was it fair enough?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. And you were a fan of the band, you were there for a signing.
Yeah.
So what kind of conflicted emotions did this leave with you?
Exactly, conflicting emotions.
I know, so I mentioned the name just within there, and my accent just went in. So just one second there.
Well, good on you, Peter.
That's the thing. Imagine if, like, you're a huge UMI fan, and you're there, and then Tim Rogers is cracking onto your girlfriend. Well, how would you feel about that, Ed?
Well, Tim, how does that normally go down?
It's because COVID is the public knowledge going to touch the unit.
Okay, that is mentioned on this album at some point.
Trying to make the hidden flash publicity stuff.
G'day, Mark. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Well, I'm excellent. You're a great moment in rock.
Oh, well, I would have been about 15, 16. Went to a Men at Work concert down the Peninsula Gardens down in Rosebud. Mm-hmm. Managed to meet a lovely young lady, and I scored with her.
How did you pick her up, Mark? What did you? What was your opening line?
I just told her a lot of lies. I think I lied about being in the Navy at the time. I was in the Navy cadets and told her I was in the regular Navy and had a few cans of beer there and.
You were in Men at Work.
Would you use Men at Work song title in your introduction? Like, you know, like some kind of link down the reference, you know?
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah. Using one of your favorite Johnny song titles, quoting them in pickup lines.
Yeah. So could it be now? It's me.
my only pickup line at the moment is I've got props now. You know, I say most of the channel.
I think it's working. It's working. Give Mark a prize. He needs one.
Trevor, how are you?
Good, mate.
Excellent. Your great moment in rock.
Well, I went to see Metallica's Reloaded tour about a few years ago. And, went to a bar after the concert, and Lars Ehrlich and James Hetfield were in the bar. So they had a beer.
Your homework this evening, although you could do your George Martin, which is, of course, Yeah, I've been saying that Paul, the music man, John's a words man, but John wrote some very fine music and Paul wrote some very fine words.
I say.
It's getting it with George Martin on Triple M. Why is he coming to Martin?
The luxury of this series is a brand new album with a brand new cover up. If you top look the cover up, beautiful. In the shops now, and don't forget to get that link to the Sydney Opera House, 12th of October, National Theatre, Victoria, Melbourne, 5th of October, and Crash House in Brisbane, on the 8th of October.
Five seconds to go. We've got a time for a key phrase.
How come?
You didn't know this.